So hello everyone, this is Emel. I'm so excited to be on the Dukan show. Shout out to my husband for supporting me in this journey and my little two-year-old daughter, Noura.
Yo, check it out. A whole new generation of young people today who belong nowhere.
But I prefer to be now cast.
Third culture kids where the concept of the Dukan is the corner shop or the top shop.
We are live outside. Hey, yo, what's up, people?
What up, nation?
It's a revolution of expression.
You're tuned in to the Dukan show. Stay tuned in.
Arab digital generation is shaping our identity, their creative expression, and their future. So please give a very warm welcome.
Welcome to your tribe.
This week's episode is a great one. We have none other than Miss Leap of Hope herself in the building. Where is that?
Damn. Hello, everybody.
B-budget. Hey.
I've been to the budget.
Yo.
I feel important right now.
You should.
شو مشكل حدا بيجيبك على برج العرب لتعملي بودكاست.
Listen, you guys, if you,
kidding, we're in the robot
if you see, if you see the view right now, you can see the ocean. I'm just kidding.
No, but for real, I'm so happy you finally got to do this and have you here because I feel like there's a lot we want to talk about. I'm not even... Sure. Like I've been trying to work out how and where we're going to start this because following your content, I'm honestly a big fan. I've actually like, especially I think as you started, which we'll get to, but just as a precursor to kind of jump into it, when you started talking about prenatal, postnatal, pregnancy and the impact of fitness and lifestyle, because it's not just, oh, exercise, but like a whole lifestyle, right? As a PT and as a mom yourself. I loved it. And I started sharing it with my cousins who were pregnant at the time. I'm like, by the way, if you need help, follow Emel, ask her questions. She'll respond. Da, da, like, and, you know, I'll send it to, you know, a woman I knew in my life who like, even if they're not pregnant at the time, but I felt what you're talking about in a specific story or in a specific moment I felt is relevant to them, I forwarded to them like, you guys, like, don't get any trainer. Like, they're already telling you what you should, like Emel has the answers, it seems. So talk to Emel, you know? And I, at that point, that was the point I think I reached out. I was like, okay, we got to come, you got to come on the show. We got to talk about this. And Reema and I spoke about it. And I think Akawi and I spoke about it a few times as well. Like, okay, there's a lot to be said because the fitness industry here is, leaves a lot to be desired.
It's fun. Let's just say that. It's
fun. You know? So that's kind of a polite way of putting it. But to understand your journey, I think let's kick off like at the beginning. How did we get to where you? How did you get to where you are today? Where did this start?
أنت منو?
I was just telling Emel, like that's such a huge question, man. But
like, give us the Leap of Hope elevator pitch. Okay. You got 60 seconds. Go.
So my name is. I was born. No, I'm just kidding. So, basically, just to give you a little brief about who I am, I actually like started out as a graphic designer, and I have a bachelor's degree in multimedia design. And I've always been an athlete as a child, but like growing up, going to university, you kind of, you know, get caught up with the, I need to make a living and live the, get married, bring children to this life, kind of world. But, I realized very early on that, that's not the way for me. And I ended up trying to get back into sports. And that's why I ended up like pursuing becoming a fitness trainer, and going into it, in much more depth. And what was so ironic is that when I became a personal trainer, I still knew nothing about coaching a woman until I got pregnant. And that's so disappointing because I realized after I got certified in pregnancy and postpartum is that I needed to be specialized to know how to train women. But the general diploma of personal training had nothing to do with a woman's body. It was the general public and fairly to train men. The female, like basically the male white body. That's what we're meant to train. But when it came to like women, I've never heard the term diastasis recti. I never heard the term prolapse.
I have no idea what these floor. Things are.
Okay.
So there's so many things.
Okay, and I want to remind everybody that we are 50% of the population. So when we're trained, when you're doing your PT course and you're doing a general, that ain't general at all. That's very specific to not me.
No. So like white, male, yeah. Body, testosterone,
and that's,
all
yeah.
of it.
So like the terms that she said are very common for women. It's basically what happens to you when you get pregnant, yeah. right? Like your abs kind of
separate
and your pelvic floor changes, which is like, you know, the pelvis.
Pelvic
and
floor, actually, no.
Fun fact, that's, pelvic floor, men also have pelvic
yeah,
floor.
That's yeah, that's why I'm like, that I know.
Oh,
that's
like,
the
I got
term
one
I
too.
Heard.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because as you're dropping these terminology, only 2 people out of 5 in this room knew what you're yeah. talking about. Attack, myself, and I can't be yeah. completely clueless.
There are 2 women in this room.
Hello.
Just to give everyone
hey.
So, yeah. So can you elaborate? So the moment that you realize, okay, so I have to specialize to treat, to cater to 50% of the population. How does that feel? Like how, what goes through your head? Like,
and I feel like, sorry, before you answer that,
it's
but
fine.
It's just like, I feel like other female trainers are not doing this.
No.
No, because they think they're getting general population. So
yeah.
they're being taught the general population, which doesn't include them either.
And it's very much… So what was interesting is that I ended up getting my diploma when I got pregnant because I didn't know how to train even though I was an athlete and a coach. So
wow.
can you imagine?
Wow.
So…
as you didn't know how to train while you're pregnant?
While I was pregnant. So I was like… when it came down to actually applying what I knew nothing. I was like, okay, now I have this happening to my body. What are the things I can or can't do? And I had no idea. And I was like, and I'm a coach. Like that tells me a lot about what I know and what I need to learn. And the courses that I saw that were in the country, unfortunately, were like 2-day courses. And I was like, really? Like 2 days? And the courses that I did.
That's too little.
That's too little. I did a 6-month course. So it was like, physiotherapists from around the world. I connected with people from the States, from Canada. I even had my consultation with like someone really far away. It was like a Zoom consultation. It was during Corona as well. So it's like understanding that there's so much out there that we don't know. And it's also understanding that there needs to be some kind of policy to make sure that trainers know this,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So the simplest thing was like, again, even the information that we're being told here is very commercial. It's very like snap back to your body and all that. And none of it is about…
of course.
It's not health.
But it also like creates such a problem for women's mental health. Like if you get pregnant, it is almost like you have a moment of panic. How am I going to snap back? How am I going to be the body before? The onus is on you to figure out something that's really unnatural. Your body will rebound if you…
That's the question I was going to ask. Like, is that realistic? Like, oh, snap back to your pre-pregnancy
body? It's something
body?
That people unfortunately take with a negative connotation, but there's no way your body comes back. Nothing. Like,
really?
Appearance-wise is not the reality. Like,
yeah.
We're talking about health. We're talking about… like longevity, like every time you give birth, it's a type of trauma on the body. It's like you're saying, I broke, like for example, I have a broken arm. I have plates and screws inside. Is it ever going to be the same?
Of course not.
Not.
I see.
But I'm still functioning with it.
Yeah.
But if I keep telling myself it's not the same, I'll never be able to function with it, right? So I think that's like one of the most interesting, I think, mindsets that we need to be in is that my body is not going to be the same. But that doesn't mean that I'm not… You can get stronger after pregnancy. You can even look better after pregnancy, but your body's not the same. And I think that is the thing that we need to come in terms with.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's something I feel that is still not being taught. Just go on social media and you're going to see what's
there. You go.
There.
But like, interestingly enough, like I didn't even know that till you mentioned it. The fact that actually, you know, you could be much stronger post-pregnancy. Your body could look a lot better after pregnancy. But I think it is a mindset. It is an education that's lacking.
But it's beyond look. It's what's in. It's the functional health of your body, like the functionality.
Right.
And I think that we have such a because of Instagram. I blame specifically Instagram to begin. I mean it. Yeah.
Right.
Just specifically.
Literally.
Right now. Yeah. Literally that platform. The amount of false information.
Amount of crap, basically.
Yeah, it's like misinformation that's really damaging women's perspectives of themselves. And everything, the filters are one thing, but then there's a universe of people that are like showcasing a really wrong approach to how you should be as a woman, which is I need to be able to run faster and climb stairs for longer than I ever should have.
Yeah.
That's the measure. Can I pick something up without throwing my back out?
Right. Like even though there's, I mean, the fitness misinformation is huge, honestly. I mean, for both men and women, but I think it's much worse. And there's a lot more misinformation for women because, like, and I always said this, and I think I'm grateful for having friends like you and Jafar, who is also a trainer. But, like, Jafar always says when, so I haven't trained for a while and I came back and I'm like, okay, I'm trying to get back my stamina. And, yeah. like, you know, especially after you've been sick, like, getting back into it is very difficult. And then going through that journey, and I'll talk to someone like Jafar and he'd be like, bruh, just, you know, be grateful that you're able to move today and grateful that your body is allowing you to do something like that. He's like, it's about health first, yeah. right? And that shifts the mindset completely. And, you know, you're sharing the same message, but also you're fighting a lot of misinformation online where, like, the stigma of you got to look a certain way and there's a social pressure that Instagram is creating on people as well where it's, I mean,
well, before Instagram, it was like Jane Fonda, like there was aerobic tapes, you know, like there's a history. I know
the aerobic tape.
It is a very important part of history. It changed the perception of what we're supposed to do at the gym as women, right?
Yeah.
And I think, like, the biggest example I can give you of, like, clients that approach me, like, I have girls coming to me, I'm pregnant, I don't want to gain weight. I was like, oh my God, like, that in itself is so dangerous. Like, so are you going to starve yourself during pregnancy or what? It's a natural part of pregnancy. You're growing a baby, you know, like if you're not gaining weight, there's an issue. That means you're not pregnant, you know, but like, that's like the mindset that we need to change. But you can imagine just how damaging that is
right.
to a girl who's pregnant and is growing a baby. And the first thing she thinks about is like, I don't want to gain weight. Wow. Oh my God. Like,
yeah,
that's so scary.
It's frightening because it's like we have these girls giving birth to babies and then battling hormones and then going through depression. And then with this added pressure, it creates, I think, a distorted version of themselves for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
And I think that's like the most dangerous thing.
A distorted reality.
And it's generational. So like you pass down that anxiety or that worldview to your children and then it only
Forever.
Becomes too familiar, right? Like that cycle. So like, can we talk about like training and hormones? Because I've never been pregnant, but like as I age, I recognize, oh, okay, there's a hormonal curve that not only me, but women I know are encountering. So how should we train? What should we know that is not common knowledge?
So we have to understand that like women go through menstrual cycles, right? And there are different phases of the menstrual cycle. So you have the luteal and like ovulation. Yeah. And after. So we have to understand that each person's cycle is going to be different. And we also have to understand the different phases
right.
and what happens. So for me personally, like what I've noticed is that I can lift the heaviest before ovulation.
Okay, that so that's me. Like, okay, that's you.
So imagine if we have women actually writing down how their performance is week by week.
I've never done that.
And that kind of sets the tone. Like there are studies right now that are coming out that to some extent during specific phases of a woman's body, she can't even lift 60%.
Oh, I've felt that. Like, and I, because we used to train like together pre-COVID and there were days where I felt like defeated is not even the word. Like depleted and disappointed in myself.
Of course.
And it almost made me not want to go back to the weights, even though I love the weights. But yeah, I was lifting literally 50%
of what
I
could lift.
And it was heavy and I felt weak. Yeah. That was the, you know. And I guess it doesn't help to be surrounded by that mentality that you have to lift more,
all
be more, do more, the more, whatever it is. So how do you combat that when you're training your clients?
So I literally ask them, and I think we shouldn't be shy to talk about like menstrual cycles. Like that's a natural part of a woman's body. The first thing is being open about it. The second thing is to really test out. Like I tell my client the first month and a half is literally me getting to know you.
Right.
It's not me even like, we're not even thinking about weight loss goals or even strength goals to some extent. It's us building a program that's specific towards you. So you can imagine how interesting it's going to be when you tailor programs for the person and understanding that they're different week by week. And
right.
there are studies that show that women are different day by day, let alone week by
week. I feel like I might be it.
Yeah. And then people are like, oh, people keep talking about feminism. Yeah, well, are you a different person every day? Yeah. Hormonally wise.
I think post lockdown and COVID, like I'm having the privilege of getting to know Akawi all over again. And I love it.
He's so brand beautiful. New man. He's a brand new man.
Thank you.
No, but I think I think that these are great points. And like for the male listeners, I guess, like support your women during these periods.
But how?
Of time.
People and just say we're crazy, right? Yeah. Oh, you're crazy. No,
they don't say you're crazy.
Be honest, the
it's not that you're crazy. Like, it's always like, oh, so you're on your period.
So, okay. Right? The biggest example I could give guys.
Yeah.
When men are on steroids. And their hormones are changing.
You make it sound like it's a general thing.
Well, have you gone to, I'm not going to say what gym, but it is what it is.
Yes,
I'm not
going to
call nobody
here.
Out right now. But like, I've seen men being on steroids in the region. And the way that their personality changes. Mm-hmm. And the way that they're aggravated and mad all the freaking time.
Well,
and
I was like, blessed.
Thank you.
And that's like a short period of time. Like, you're doing a cycle. Imagine being on that your whole entire life.
Yeah, from the
monthly.
Day. So it's a strange thing because when you try to remember who you were before your period, you almost don't have, like,
there's no,
like a strange blur of like.
I love that thing. If you try to remember who you were before your period.
Think of the fluffy little girl, you know?
You imagine like a poodle or a puppy or something that just wasn't raging at all, you know?
It's true.
And then suddenly.
But
this
by the way, like, I am roided up. Not in the fitness sense, but I do take cortisone.
Right.
Because I'm post kidney transplant. So
get it, bro.
Right. So unfortunately they have the complete opposite effect. Yeah. They're muscle depleting, they're bone density depleting, and they actually retain water in your body and they deplete your limbs. So you put on weight in all the wrong places.
Welcome to menopause.
Right? I think so. I read about it,
literally.
Right? And I remember after my surgery, I mean, I am on I'm on an average of like 500 milligrams of cortisone per day. And at the beginning, it's via IV. So it's straight to your bloodstream. It's not even pills, right? Today, I only take 5 a day. But like back then, what instantly happens, you balloon overnight, right? And they even have a name for it. They call it moon face. Well, if you look at anybody that's post-transplant, their faces are rounder.
Right.
Right. At that time because of those medications. And like, it's terrible to go through.
Of course.
And hormones, like steroids really mess with your entire system. I mean, I remember in the hospital bed, I raged at my mom over something so trivial. We were talking about something and I just got really angry for no. And I don't remember why I got angry. It was just, I get angry. And it was funny because like, you know, hospital TVs and we're, you know, some things on TV, I'm watching The Simpsons and I remember this distinctly because I started crying. I'm like, why am I crying watching The Simpsons? Like there's nothing ever in The Simpsons that would bring you to tears.
I relate so much to that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And it's just so confusing. And now you're trying to rationalize like what is wrong with me and are my meds messing with me? Like you don't…
Yeah. Like is this me or is it my hormones? That's the question, right?
I don't even have that. I didn't have that language. I'm like, I didn't know this is what happens. Yeah. Right?
Until after.
Yeah. Like I only understood this later when I went and read about it. I'm like, oh, that makes sense now.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a mood swing. Those are mood swings.
It was
and they're
severe.
Like normal. Like I think with the guys I have an open… Well, with anyone that I'm relatively close to, I have an open space to say I'm hormone… Like I think it's just my hormones, but I do have that conversation. But I feel like a lot of women don't have that open space.
For sure. And I think we also are judged upon it. She's like using her hormones as an excuse to be a bad person. And I've heard that before.
I've heard that too. And like, and as an excuse to get at a gym class. Yeah. And I was like, no, I am an athlete. I want to play, but I cannot right now.
I'm in pain, for example. Yeah, cramping or whatever.
And
I mean, you're dancing, you're the cheerleading, you're an active athlete throughout your entire life.
Amazing.
Like
all of those by choice.
So for you to miss a class, like it should have been obvious that you can't.
And you're shamed a lot. You're shamed so much, especially like the Arab side of my world was it was taboo. Like do not let anyone know that you have a period. It is not a acceptable discussion to have, especially amongst your friends, amongst your girlfriends.
Yes.
It's normal. But anywhere else, it is not for anyone's discussion. And I think that left all of us or many of us in a very really uneducated space. Because education is discourse.
Right.
And for a lot of girls, they were just barreling through. Training magazines that we would get would all have God knows what. God knows how to, I don't know. It was all messy. Shambles.
Yeah. Speaking about language, it was so interesting because like I started giving like workshops and even like Clubhouse, for example. The simplest thing is like if you're having pelvic floor issues, like one of the biggest signs is that it's painful to have sex.
Okay.
So with your spouse, like imagine you're with your husband and you're in pain. That's a sign that you need to go get checked. Maybe there's something wrong, but people have normalized it because they're not talking about it.
And
right?
Also because wow. This idea of like purity and pain yes. are intertwined. I really have an issue. I take such huge issue with that.
Yeah.
It should be pleasurable. For a lot of women, we're told, listen, you know what?
Just deal with it.
Basically. Just deal with it. It's going to hurt, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, no. We should not be subject to that.
But I think like these conversations need to happen from like a scientific standpoint because yeah. women really don't know about their bodies. They don't know what signs to look for. Like even this whole notion of listen to your body for me is so triggering because what have you taught your girls to do? To push past pain?
To? Yeah.
To like what do we even know about listening to our bodies to begin to listen to our bodies?
There's such wisdom in that statement because the truth is like, okay, listen, right? To what? Like, what am I listening for? Like, what yeah. am I hearing right now? I'm angry and I'm sad and I'm like hungry and yeah. like, oh yeah, I'm hearing it. Like I'm here, you know? And I think one of like, are you comfortable? I'm going to talk about my experience. Please for don't sure. feel obligated to. But when I first got my period, there was a conversation of now you have to protect yourself. You cannot be around your men. Guy friends.
Yeah.
Yeah, are no longer your guy friends. They can no longer be. So it immediately turned it into this. I don't know what the word is.
Made it tense.
It made it volatile.
Volatile.
It was political.
It's scary.
It was political. It yeah. was volatile, and it was like protect yourself now yeah. because you can get pregnant. Because you can get. You know. Yeah. You know. You're now the family shame rides on your
it's
body.
It's literally. It comes back to shame.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're always taught to be shamed.
Yeah. Right. And so when we're training, that same like, hold it, just deal with it. Don't say it. Just yeah. go through it.
Push through it.
Is so damaging to us as women right now. Yeah. And so I feel like, so are you developing systems? Because it sounds like you're building a system. This is what I'm yeah. hearing. And I'm so happy to hear that.
You're so kind.
Because are you, is that what's happening?
What's happening right now is that I'm trying to broaden up my reach.
Yeah.
So
that's why we're going to do a show with you.
So just saying, if you want to find me, you'll find me.
Coming soon to the Cannes Media near you.
I'm excited. So necessary. We need it so desperately.
We need to have these conversations more than ever.
Yeah.
Because I feel like now we're so much more exposed to information. But again, even the information might be wrong.
Right. It's biased.
It's biased. Miseducation. And even with all this information, we're still programmed to go with the old information.
Right.
So how do we rewire that? How do we reprogram ourselves to think that these conversations are okay? And it's changing for sure.
Yeah.
But I feel like still there's a big part of society that don't have that exposure.
Right.
So it's our response. It's everyone's Sorry. Responsibility.
No, 100%. This goes back to you saying, you know, it needs to be discussed, one, in a scientific way, but yeah. also in a public platform. Because
For
like
sure.
you said, there are articles about it in places where our friends, our family won't, like they're not going to read the science, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
a medical magazine or something. But then it's, like you said, Clubhouse, podcasts, seminars, whatever, we're starting
For
to speak
sure.
about it, even if it's just a bit. Maybe not the whole spectrum, but at least showcasing that it's fine to speak about
yeah.
it in a public platform. It's fine to speak because we want our nieces, daughters later on to get educated through that or like not feel yeah. embarrassed to go ask or not find somebody to ask.
Yeah.
Whether if it's periods, whether if it's freezing your eggs, everything.
Yeah,
you know
absolutely.
What I mean?
You know what's the most interesting part? I met basically a girl a while back and she said, also, like, your relationship with your dad or even your brother is super important.
Yeah, my God. That's even yeah. as you said, like, I have goosebumps right now because it's like, yo,
One of our friends, her daughter, when she got her period, told her dad first and not her mom.
Her mom was like, what?
Yeah, and I feel like because they built that relationship where it's okay to tell your dad and not your, like,
that, well,
That's
first
amazing.
Of all, it's remarkable.
That's
amazing.
It's yeah. wonderful. And I think that, like, I wish for every woman that she has someone in her life that is so safe that will tell her, this is
okay.
This is natural. Yeah. It's okay. And as women, especially, we want we want your allyship. Like, we want guys to be our allies. We want you beside us as we deal with life's things, just like you want us beside you. And I think that's amazing. And if the we can have of that.
But I think that's what I wanted to add. Like, earlier you were talking about, you know, you want to tackle these from a scientific point of view, which I definitely agree with. But I think the social narrative is necessary as well, not just scientific, right? Like, how it plays part in society, how it plays part in community, how it plays part in culture, and actually, like, having a strong front against traditional thinking, right, of how these issues or these conversations are held and tackled, you know.
And how to have them as well, because…
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I grew up in a household where I'm the eldest of four boys, right? So the only females were my mom, or when, you know, relatives would move to the UAE to go to university and they happened to live with us for a brief period of time. So other than that, I didn't have any, you know, female exposure other than, you know, my friends in school. So, like, there wasn't necessarily someone that would have these conversations with us. Because then again, like, you're boys, like, who's going to say shit to you, right?
So, well, actually, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Like, when you were growing up and you didn't have like that female kind of confidant to go to or to watch her experience things because you watch your friends go through.
Yeah.
How did you perceive periods and things?
Oh,
how did you, like, the things that happen every month to the women all around you?
For the most part, no clue other than what I was exposed to in media. So, and this is what I was saying from a social point of view because my rationale was like, well, you got to be able to talk about this in TV shows and in film, right? And in spaces that are accessible for an average person, right? Because scientific might, you know, fly over some people's heads. But then how can I make this accessible to, you know, people like Akawi's niece, right? Who's like, that's what, true. Is she 10 or 11, right? Yeah. So to really normalize the conversation at any age group, right? Because, like, the only time I had an awareness or a better understanding of this was when I worked on a pads brand.
Yeah.
As being a person in advertising.
Through
not till I had a job.
That's very interesting.
That I actually got to understand it, right?
But you know, that's not just because you were in a household where you're all boys. Like, I was in a household of all female. But it's not, even them, it's not like they never came and talked to me about it.
Yeah.
Because that was the taboo, 90s as well, and early 2000s. But they still, even if you're in a household, no one's going to come and educate you about it. Unless, like, you come asking. Where am I to not understand what's happening? So I
absolutely.
Can go ask, you know what I mean?
And I think it's, like, usually kept as a secret. You know, in Arab households,
we're told,
right?
Like, it's exactly like I said. This is not for anyone else, but the women that are close to you. It's not even for women outside of your circle.
Yeah.
So I can understand how Akawi, living in a house of women, had no conversation about something
not
that was happening to him every... Because it affects you. Like, it does affect the environment that you live in. So those conversations need to be had. And, like, what do you think are the safe spaces that we can have these conversations in?
So I found it interesting because, like, now Clubhouse is opening up a little bit. But at the same time, I feel like we need to find more platforms that can have people talk rather than, like, you have one person talking and people listening. Like, people need to be able to have questions and get the answer right away, right? Because I was talking about one of the issues as well. And, like, I had a group of five girls and they literally had no idea of anything I was talking about.
Wow.
So it became a discourse rather than me telling them information.
Right.
And I think that is also one of the problems is that we have a one-sided conversation and we don't know what the general public need or what they understand to begin with. We have our own community and our own bubble.
Right.
And you'd realize out of that bubble, you have people who really are out of the loop. They really don't know where to look, firstly. And secondly, what information is correct. So I think, firstly, we need to back up what we're saying with science.
Yeah.
Like 100%. We need to kind of filter out who isn't backing up their information with science. I have a lot of talks that I've been in and even, like, events where people are giving their two cents and they don't even have the certification to say what they're saying. So I think we need to be more prominent in finding the right people and asking the right questions. Like, I had a girl who had a coach that was coaching her in a certain way. And I said it was pretty damaging, the mindset that she's put in. And I told her, do you know what the coach's certifications are? And she said, no. I was like, you never asked your coach ever what her certifications were.
To be honest, a lot of us don't.
And, like, it's like, I just expected she was good because she's on Instagram and she has clients, right?
Here we
that's
go.
That's a whole other conversation. We're going to get into that.
That's a big problem.
But that's, like, women specifically.
Yeah.
Like, we find our coaches on Instagram.
Right.
Like, I didn't see any other place where women can find coaches except on Instagram, right?
Like, that's so funny because, like, I found my coach on Instagram, right? Yeah. And I never had a PT up until 2019, where he walked into the office and I kind of was like, who's this big guy?
Right? Okay, I see you.
It was like so weird.
And you know, really short shorts on.
And yeah, I was about to say, like, you know, PTs being PTs, they're there in like tank tops and shorts, and it's an office. And I kind of staring
at this
dude.
That's why I love my job. Let me just tell you that. Wear whatever you want all the time.
Right? And he comes in, and like, but I remember I was telling Reem, like, I've been watching this guy for 2 years on Instagram before I ever thought of reaching out. And he spoke to like the strategist and nerd in me, because everything was about like, here's the article, here's the link, these are the posts, these are the people, and like graphs and material that he would share for people to access. And I'm like, and I would go read it myself. I'm like, all right, great. And like, and I didn't think much about it. I was like, okay, he's giving me all the information. I can figure this out for myself. At the time, like, I don't need a PT. So I went through all of that. And the more I read, the more I understood his perspective and where it was coming from. And eventually I was like, you know what? It's worth giving this a shot. I'm going to try and training with this person. And that helped a lot. Like, it did. He developed a very regimented scientific approach to things where it was extreme. Like, very extreme. It's not for everybody because
which,
like,
makes sense.
Yeah. But I understood that and I was okay with that because, you know, the level of extremism in it where it's like, okay, you're measuring everything you're eating, you're macro counting everything, you're weighing yourself every day and then setting it up on a graph, and, you know, you're training 3 to 5 times a week. So then understanding the science of input, output,
calorie in, calorie out,
how is that impacting your weight? And how are you measuring yourself every day? At what time of day? You know, what is the circumstance around that? And then your workouts as well, and kind of looking at the graphs. So very scientific, very methodical, but also extreme. Like, I understand that's what an actual, you know, a soccer player…
A professional athlete would go through. For sure.
Right? Which I understood. I'm like, okay, I'm happy I went through that because I understood the science. Like, it gave me a complete overview of how these things work. You know, now I'm not as extreme with it, but I get it. Right? And I think that's the only… Like, people would usually look at a trainer on Instagram and, oh, that person looks good, let me go train with him. And, you know, we spoke about, like, Reem and I spoke about this before. Like, for example, you look at the world's best boxing coaches, none of them look like they know how to train.
Gymnastic coaches. Have you seen the old men?
Yeah.
Like,
right? Ooh,
yeah.
They don't look like they've ever trained before, but they are some of the best coaches in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really, don't look at their Instagram, look at their credentials, ask for their certificates, ask for who they've trained before, and look at the results of people they've trained before.
And also referrals, man.
Yeah.
Agreed. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed on the referrals.
Because, like, rather than doing all that, just go ask OT about his PT.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I got you.
But also like asking the right people.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 100%.
I think with women, it's like, oh, she's good. Why? She's making me do cardio 6 times a week.
Yeah.
She's good. I'm losing weight. I'm like, okay. It's like, okay. So it's dangerous to some extent. Like, referrals as well is asking the right people. But it's also, it's interesting when you're talking about like research and like very strict regimen. So what was interesting, I read an article a while back where for the first time in history, which is so frustrating, that
we can hear it in your voice.
Oh my God. Okay. But the first time in history, they actually worked with a woman's menstrual cycle on an all-girls professional football team, which was the USA team.
The year is 2020.
Okay.
2020.
Wow. They won with flying colors, if I may add, because they worked with each and every individual's menstrual cycle. And can you imagine that this is only in 2020? So all the years that passed, it was very much random.
Yeah, it was randomized.
I was like, just figure it out.
And yeah,
if you look at women's football, pound for pound on the court, the women
have performed really well
than most male counterparts.
But I'm
they didn't get the funding. Yeah,
we need that.
I feel like that's the bias. You know what I mean? Well, we're already doing the science. The science is done in an athlete that can run farther. I'm like, yes, but he is a man. And that is his job, I guess.
Yeah,
but my job is to be the best soccer player as a woman.
Yeah.
And so you need to give me the
and
training.
And that's the wrong benchmark.
Yeah.
You can't set it against
the data points were wrong. The data points were wrong. So the output was wrong. It's basic.
Yeah. It's like I was saying, if the brief is shit, the output is going to be shit. It's the same thing. Yeah. If your data points that have been collected are biased towards a race or a sex, then obviously the output is going to be completely incorrect. And it does not work for everybody.
And I'm hoping, I'm seeing now, this year is the first year that I'm starting to kind of see this infiltration of, you know, like actual evidence-based, an evidence-based approach to training that focuses on women's bodies. And you're right, it's sad that now it's happening, but I'm hoping that, you know,
it continues. And progresses, I hope.
Yeah. But in the world of personal training, is it there yet or not really?
It's interesting because now I've been asking a lot of girls on their personal training experiences. And I see men asking more of the questions about menstrual cycles than women.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I found that interesting. Good. But at the same time, I was like, why aren't women having these conversations?
Probably because she's like, I'm not going to go to the mall if I work at the mall. I have a period. she's like, I'm not going to, you know.
So it's a really weird conversation because it's like, do we think that we're doing enough just because we're women? Like, I had this very big discussion with one of the girls who was giving advice. She's like, I have 5 kids. I was like, that still doesn't give you the right to give advice. Like, experience of having kids is not the same as the actual science behind it. Because your first pregnancy may be different than your second pregnancy, third pregnancy.
Fair.
There are too many factors that come into play. And from a scientific point of view, you can't give advice just based on that. So let me give you an example. So the girl was telling me I was walking and I was training and lifting very light weights. And I told my friend to do the same. I was like, okay. And then I spoke to the friend. She had gestational diabetes. The other friend had.
Completely different canvas.
And I was like, it's a completely different canvas. You don't know her genetic history. You don't know how her tissue is going to stretch out or how her pelvic floor muscles are reacting to the weightlifting. So it's like, are we giving advice just from a place of I know better because I'm a mom? Or do you want to help the individual and take a step back? So again, I think women think just because you're a woman that you know, but you have to research this stuff. There are things I really did not know about the woman's body and I'm a woman, you know? Right. So I think that's
Is that why doctors usually tell pregnant women, just walk and kind of simplify it to the lowest common denominator?
Don't get me started on doctors.
Is that why that happens?
Doctors, I don't want to slam doctors or say anything disrespectfully, but I respect them to some extent, but it's not in their expertise to teach you how to move. The biggest example I could give you is that when I broke my arm, my doctor was an amazing surgeon. I had plates and screws installed. I came back 6 weeks later to remove the cast. And he's like, you're good to go. I'm like, doctor, I can't move my arm. And I want to do parkour. That's my sport. He's like, yeah, just do rehab. I was like, where's the guidance in that? I need some guidance to know what I'm supposed to do, what I'm supposed to not do. How do I progressively load my arm? So he's like, go to a physiotherapist. So then I went to a physiotherapist. And the doctor's job is very much to treat the body, not the individual.
His job ended when the cast came up.
Exactly. And we need to be open. The same thing comes with actual pregnancy. Your OBGYN is not your pelvic floor specialist.
Yeah.
Your pelvic floor specialist is not your personal trainer. You have to have a team. And we still don't have that system set in place anywhere in the world, actually.
Yeah.
Wow. Everyone works separately. And that's why women aren't given the rightful kind of service that they need is because we have industries kind of fighting each other where in reality they need to work together.
And people trust their doctors blindly. If anyone else besides you tell them you're good to go, okay, Allah, tamam. And they go just because my doctor told me.
I would have. Same. I wouldn't imagine fighting my doctor and I would imagine you wanted to get back right now. After being in a cast for how long, you're I want to get back.
Because of the usual smack him at the doctor thing that we've always heard.
Listen to your doctor. Yo, that is crazy.
No, allow doctor. Of course he's right.
The worst advice I've ever heard from a if any doctor tells you, oh, I want to do something, he's like, just stop doing it. I think that's the worst advice. I heard one of my in-laws my mother-in-law actually, she told me that she was facing back pain. And my mother-in-law is a very active person, mashallah. She was having back pain, some knee pain. She went to the doctor. The doctor said, just stop working out. You're too old. And she was 49. Wow. At the time. 49. Wow. You're telling a 49-year-old to stop moving. That's the worst advice you can give any person in the world, let alone a woman.
Thank you for kicking it with us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to this week's episode as much as we enjoyed creating it for you. Please subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcast at to stay up to date with all our conversations. Also, if you don't mind, hit us with the 5-star rating, leave a comment, let us know how you feel about the show. That way, it could also help others find the show. And be sure to share it with your friends and family, whoever you think can benefit from it. You can holler at us on all social media platforms at The Can Show. We'd love to hear from you. Or you could drop us an email to hello@thecanmedia.com. Salam.